We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Talking Buffalo podcast, Casual Friday, presented by KC's BlackRock. As always, let's just jump right into it, because I got a lot of stuff that I want to get to today, man. My man Joe Yernan is with me, as always. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I'm recovering through a long day and night in Rochester last night at AEW Dynamite and Rampage and all things in between. It's the hot new wrestling company came to the area. I had to be there. Well, technically, I bought the tickets. We bought the tickets 2 years ago, and this they finally were able to make it back. Thanks, COVID. Really cool of you. but yeah, these were tickets that we had gotten 2 years ago, and they came back to town. They're like, hey, yeah, your tickets are still good. So make sure you come out for it. So yeah, it was awesome.
AEW, I'll tell you what, man, and we're going to be talking Bills, Sabres. Our starting five draft this week is going to be 80s music acts. I'll tell you, so I had Joe on the show, ended up Joe from Queens I'm talking about, and he's along with you, a wrestling fan, one of the few wrestling fans that I get a chance to talk to, and I had it in my notes to talk a little AEW with him, but I never really got a chance to because so many other things came up, and I don't want to miss that opportunity again, especially because you were actually there.
Right.
I've just recently have gotten into AEW in part because of a lot of the great wrestlers that I'm familiar with that have come into to AEW over the last couple of weeks and months. CM Punk, of course, Bryan Danielson, Christian Cage, many others. And also in part because I'm just, quite frankly, I'm really disgruntled with WWE programming over the last year. After growing up and watching wrestling, not even growing up, but also as an adult. I mean, I've watched it almost weekly my entire life. But over this past year and a half, I kind of sort of threw in the towel. But anyway, I've been watching AEW. I did watch it on TV. I didn't talk to you yesterday, so I didn't even know that you were at the at the arena. How was it? What was the vibe like being in front of a live wrestling crowd like that?
It was really cool. I mean, the thing about wrestling shows is that you don't have people going there being disgruntled.
Right.
Like, it's, you know, people rag on wrestling. I get it. Like, it's like, it's fake sports, predetermined, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Like, whatever. Who cares? It's, to me, it's a human stunt show with a silly storyline tied into it. So for me in that aspect, and like, there's a total, you know, there's a part you play as the crowd. Like, you're there to like accent the characters either by booing them or cheering them.
Sure.
And you're also there to kind of give the temperature of the match too, because if guys aren't putting on a great match, then the crowd isn't going to respond, and everybody's going to be like, you're like, okay, we got to do something to win the crowd over again. But it's great. It's a good time out, and you know, the guys they've got going there are really good, and the stuff they're doing isn't as dumb as what WWE's been doing lately. Just, you know, every good batch that the WWE team seems to put on, they step on a rake with the ending or how they, you know, how they decide.
Even Aaron Anderson talking about a Glock.
Yeah. Like, dude, like the way that was funny, because my buddies and I were always like, you have to respect the legends. And sure. Arn Anderson's a legend. And so like when Arn starts stepping up and getting in his face, we're like, that's right, Arn. So people just started going, yeah, Arn, tell him, Arn. Like, it's great. And it was like, well, Cody bounced off Adam Moore. Arn's gonna give him a spine buster and he's gonna walk out of the ring a hero. So but it was great. It was a little bit of a different feel there last night because like I said, this was supposed to be 2 years ago. They were supposed to have a match, and it was pretty early on in AEW's life cycle. And it was supposed to be Brody Lee's AEW debut after he was let go, after he left WWE. He was Luke Harper in WWE. And his real name is Jonathan Huber. And Huber's from Rochester. And he was going to make his debut in Rochester. And that was also the same night Matt Hardy made his debut. And so, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I don't know if those who don't know the story, Huber passed away the day after Christmas. He had a lung issue that he had been dealing with, not COVID, but something else that he had been dealing with. And he, you know, ultimately passed from it. Extremely sad because his career was just finally getting put back, getting put into a position where he was like in the main highlight, the main spotlight for everything. And it was, there was a lot of tributes to him. The fans were chanting Brody all night long.
Yeah, a lot of it.
And, Sammy Guevara is a guy who's a good friend of his, and for the first time ever, not on a pay-per-view, apparently. First time ever not in Florida, I should say, but because all the other matches have been happening at their training facility in Florida because of the pandemic. But for the first time ever on the road, spoiler for anybody, but Sammy Guevara beat Miro, formerly Rusev from the WWE. And so Sammy won the title. You know, there's, you know, confetti, there was glitter, and, you know,
it was a good match.
Oh, it was a super match. So that was fun. And like Sammy, you know, after the cameras went off, Sammy was like, I got to dedicate this to Brody. You know, he's my boy. Like, you know, everything was just a huge love fest for Huber. And to me, that was even more of a reason for me to go because, while I was with The Athletic, I had been working on trying to do a story with Huber, about his pre-wrestling days, which for him goes back a while because he had been doing backyard wrestling, all that stuff from, you know, when he was a teenager. But before then he had played hockey in Rochester and he had played hockey with Brian Gionta and a handful of other guys, you know, when he was a kid. Like, we're talking like 10, 11 years old, maybe. And, you know, I was texting with Huber cause I got to meet him cause he came to Sabres game day, like morning skate. And he wasn't there to see the Sabres cause he's not a Sabres fan. He's a Leafs fan. Which people are like, how does that happen in Rochester? It's like, well, you know, sometimes when you like to needle your buddies, you become a fan of the team that they all hate. So that's kind of how that worked for him, which is hilarious. But he was buddies with Brent Burns of the San Jose Sharks, and you know, Sabres were playing the Sharks that day. And I walk into the Sabres room or the Sharks room after they skated, and you know, I'm just, you know, go around doing my interviews for the game and blah 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 blah. And I look over and I see, I'm like, shit, is that Luke Harper? Like, okay, like two giant bearded dudes in the room. Brent Burns is the other one, and I was like, what the hell? I was like, I walk over him, and like I knew of him because my friend Rob Sanderson, who took part in Squared Circle Wrestling in Central New York, Western New York, like, you know, we're talking Rochester, around the Buffalo area, Syracuse, Binghamton, around, you know, different smaller indie promotion. And back in the day, like, and you know, Rob's from Rochester. He used to be the pregame host for Amerix Radio. He worked for the Chicago Steel, the Corpus Christi Ice Rays. Like, he's a hockey guy, but his background is wrestling. So I see Huber and I was like, I know him and Rob are best buddies. And I was like, hey, man, introduced myself. And I was like, really good buddies with Rob Sanderson. And he's just like, no kidding. He's like, oh man, that's awesome. He's like, I haven't seen Rob in, you know, since like the summertime. I was like, yeah, man. He's like, oh, how's he doing? I was like, doing great. And so me and Huber just start shooting the breeze in the room. And always when you're trying to get one over on your buddy, I ask him, I go, worked with him, your buddies with him. I was like, is there a name that you call Rob that will totally like fry him? Like something that you call him that it just drives him nuts. And big grin comes on his face and he's like, call him Sandy. And I was like, Sandy? And he goes, yeah, just call him Sandy. And I was like, okay. So, you know, shake hands, you know, part ways with Huber. And I was like, okay. So I talk to Rob a few days later and I go, what's up, Sandy? And he's like, what? And he goes, what? Where does that come from? I was like, well, I saw your buddy Huber the other day. And he's like, oh, is that what he said to call me? And I go, yeah. He goes, dumbass. Like, he's like, that doesn't bother me. No, it doesn't. It was like one of those things where you say, like, where you're just like, I'm not bothered by that. No, like, why would you say that bothers me? I'm not bothered by that at all. And it's like, okay, that kind of gets on your skin a little bit. But he's like, shook it off. And so fast forward like a year or two later, I'm trying to come up with ideas for stories because the Sabres are awful. And I was like, I need another story to write.
Right.
Like hockey adjacent. So I was like, you know, so I asked, so I'd asked Rob and I was like, did Huber ever play hockey growing up? And he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, he played with Gianna and a couple other guys. I was like, oh shit. Okay. So I was like, would you mind giving me his number so I could like text him? And he's like, yeah, no. He's like, go ahead. And like this time I was like concerned about reaching out to a guy with WWE, because like they get really antsy about talking to their people without their knowledge, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And I was like, I don't care. Like I'm friends with like one of his best friends. I don't give a shit. And while Rob was with Corpus Christi, he had just had Huber went down to call a game with him on the air. Because Rob does like did the PR and the broadcasting for Corpus Christi. And so he had Huber down there to do a game with him on the air. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. And I was like, let me interview you about that. I'll interview Huber about it. We'll get talking hockey. He's like, the whole story's coming together in my eyes. I was like, this is great. And so I texted back and forth with Huber, and we weren't really able to come up with a time to make it work because he was doing WWE stuff. Like they were going to Europe for like a couple weeks. I was like, I can't make that work. You know, his time is really caught up because you're doing travel, you're doing shows, you're doing all this stuff. It's really hard. And he's like, I got a break coming in a little bit. Like, he's like, we'll catch up then. I was like, okay, cool. And the break came up, and I think that was when he got like things fell apart and he got let go. So it was just like, okay, that sucks. Like, this is all bad timing. And then he gets with AEW. Then I got laid off. So like just timing for everything just sucked ass.
Right.
And so like by the time it'd come around, like, you know, I had free time and he had a little bit of free time. Like it's just, there was nowhere for me to post that story. I mean, I'm sure I could have sold it around someplace, but I don't know. I was in no position to write after being laid off. So, so like the stars didn't align to make it happen. And then, you know, everything happened, you know, everything that happened at the day after Christmas in December, it was just incredibly sad because he was such a talented guy. One of the coolest things I ever saw him, one of the coolest matches I ever saw him in was an NXT match they did in Buffalo. Like it was like a travel show that they did for NXT. It was just like NXT on tour. They were at Riverworks, and he wasn't on the bill, but like, it was Ricochet. Ricochet comes out for the match and like nobody knew who his opponent was. Ricochet comes out and like Ricochet's a high flyer, you know, speedy guy. And so Ricochet's just like, he's standing in the ring. He's like, all right, let's go. And like, he's facing a secret opponent. Then Luke Harper's music hits and the place goes absolutely apeshit. And I'm like, this is cool as hell. How is this going to work? Because Huber's a big dude and Ricochet's sure. A speedy little guy. And I think of all the guys in the card that night, you know, they had a three-way match with Adam Cole, Tommaso Ciampa, and Johnny Gargano. Like that was the main event. That should be the main event. Should be the best match of the night. No, Huber Ricochet melted the place down. It was like one of those. It was like seeing an opening band before the main, like before the headliner, and the opening band just absolutely crushes it.
Sure,
so that you're like, boy, I gotta breathe. And the main event comes out. It's like, well, I don't have time to breathe, but like, whoo, I need a break here, man. Like that was awesome. But like it was such an unreal match, and like you got to see him do a lot of stuff that he just wasn't really allowed to do in WWE. Like some of the really athletic, uber athletic stuff he could do, and you're just like, wow, like why don't they let this guy do this? And it's, you know, they all have their reasons, but he was just an unbelievable dude, and just a great person, and like literally everybody that you talk to about him, they friggin' love the guy. And so like the love fest that they had last night, and they did a thing after they taped Rampage where they brought out his family, like his Huber's son was a big part of it. Like if you saw a little guy in a luchador mask,
yeah.
That's him. that's his oldest son. So he became a big part of that after he passed with the Dark Order and everything. That was a big part because the Dark Order was supposed to be a big creepy stable. And then Huber passed. And then they were just like, they turned it into like a family thing. And it was just like, okay. And it worked great, but like, I'm rambling because that's the whole thing with Huber is just an impressive dude, just like an awesome dude. Everybody loves the guy. And the fact that he's a Rochester guy that like made it big, and he was supposed to have that huge moment at home with the new company, and it COVID fucked it up for everything. And so last night turned into like a, it sounds sadder than it is, but like it was a celebration of his life last night. So that was really awesome to be there for that. And that made it a lot special and emotional too. Like it was a beautiful thing to see. Like wrestling, you always think is like big, tough, roughneck guys and blah, 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 whatever. But like last night was really what that community is about. They all love each other. They all care for each other. They all stick up for each other. And, you know, when one goes, you know, when one falls, they're there to pick everybody else up. It was awesome. It was really cool.
Yeah, you know, some of my favorite wrestling memories as a kid, or even especially as an adult, are actually, you know, they're sad occasions, but they are those kind of tribute shows. And when they kind of go out of character a little bit and reveal them their true selves, because it's rare when you see it, at least on TV anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, on social media in real life now, you know, it's the secret is out. Whereas back in the day, they try to stay in character all the time. But yeah, when you see those like the Eddie Guerrero tribute show, the Owen Hart, you know, I can go by with some other ones. Those are always been my favorite shows. But yeah, it looked like it was fun. It was good stuff. And I'll tell you, man, good stuff. I had to admit this. So I had Joe from Queens on earlier this week, and we taped something on Monday night, late night, like around midnight. And it was going to be Bill's Talk. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple notes from the side, stuff about COVID vaccination stuff, because I know how Joe, you know, just give Joe that form and he's going to go Doug Allen not doing the national anthem.
Yeah.
And it turned into, I realized about 25, 30 minutes and I'm like, you know what? We hadn't even come close to getting the Bills stuff. I made it like an on the fly decision. I said, I'm going to make this a two-parter.
Yeah.
So we talked for like, ended up being 45, 50 minutes before we even got the Bills stuff. And then we spent some time talking Bills. And then in my mind, I'm like, all right, well, I don't want to put off the Bills stuff for another day. So even though we taped the other stuff first, I ran the Bills part of it and called it part one on Tuesday. And then Wednesday we did, like I said, talked about vaccinations, Rachel Bush, you know, all the stuff you would expect
right. With
Joe from Queens. I got to say, though, it went over really well. Like,
yeah.
Joe did a good job, man. And it resonated with a lot of people. Tim Graham quote tweeted it.
Mm-hmm.
The Doug Allen stuff especially. I mean, let me get a quick thought from you on this.
Yeah.
And by the way, also, shame on me for not mentioning a big part of that episode. And we called some people out, man. We called some media outlets out. There's a lot of clickbait going on.
I listened to
it. And again, I don't want to rehash all of Wednesday's content all over again, but a news reporter from Channel 7 gets legitimately injured in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever's running that social media put it up like a clickbait story. Like, didn't include the name. You know, it was really frustrating to look at. So we had a lot of things to say on that show. And again, go back and listen, everybody. But the Doug Allen stuff, I do want to get your thought on. Who gives? And I'm going to say what I said on Wednesday.
No, do it. Say it.
Piggyback. Who gives a shit? Why is he important enough? Is he a star? Is he worth having to put out this message and it's being covered like it's a fucking news story that he doesn't want to, that he's not going to do the anthem after what? 25 years, which by the way, I had no idea he's been doing the anthem there for 25 years. Just goes to show you, at least me personally, how little I ever gave a shit about it to begin with. Not the anthem, about him being the one to perform it and pointing his finger afterwards. Great. I mean, I'm not hating on it. I was just indifferent. I don't really care. But why was that covered as a news story, man? I mean, because he wouldn't get a vaccination? It's just stupid, and who gives a shit, man? Are we that desperate in the fall in Western New York for media coverage with the Bills season going on, with the Sabres getting ready to start, UB's playing football? There's plenty of stories to go around. Mm-hmm. Why the hell was this newsworthy that Doug Allen wasn't going to do the national anthem?
Because he was, I guess, smart enough to send a release to the news stations to tell them that he was doing it, like spoon feeding news to the outlets, which, you know, as you guys pointed out the other day, If you just hand it to some of the TV stations, they will just run it and say, thank you for the story. We're not going to do anything beyond that. And that's totally what happened. Like, smart for Doug Allen to do that, because now he can find his other, you know, anti-vax kooks around the area to rally around him. But it's very emblematic of how things have gone. You guys hit all the examples I would have cited in that pod. Not to send everybody to go like, hey, stop listening to this pod. Go listen to the pod from
go check it out.
But
we got a draft coming up soon here.
Episode. we got important shit to get to here. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's really that way. Like, every example you cited was exactly what it was. It's like, here, let me talk to a bunch of people on this one side of the story. And it's the side of the story you wouldn't want to find out from what they have to say anyways, because it's all wrong information. But then writing an entire story about that, like I mean, again, like Alan says, he had COVID before. Okay. He's like, I'm already immune. Like, no, you're not. But like, nice try. Like, yeah, like your immunity is boosted a little bit from it, but like, not quite the way you think. I mean, all you have to do is look at that stupid president of Brazil who's had COVID like, what, 3-4 times? Like, I mean, the guy's hoarding all the COVID down there. But the rules are simple. Get vaxxed or you're not going to be able to do the shit you want to do. Like, instead of having it be the other way around where everybody else who's vaxxed can't do what they want to do because, you know, a loud handful of people want to be like, no, my rights, my freedom. Like, fine, whatever. Like, you know, I listened to Howard Stern had a rant about this a few weeks ago where, you know, he's like his sum up line was like, fuck those people, fuck their freedom, which I mean, hey, okay, thanks, Howard. That's okay, Howard, thank you. But like, his point was like, he's like, you know, people are crying about their freedom. He's like, what about my freedom? Like, well, what about my freedom to go do the shit I want to do because I did what I was supposed to do. Because I got vaxxed up and I decided to care about myself and everybody around me. It's like, why am I prevented from doing what I want to do? Because a handful of kooks want to be like, no, I love the pandemic. I want it to go forever. Like, because I love freedom. Like, okay, congrats. Like, all right. And, you know, it just, I don't want to get ranting about this again because we said it last week. We're sick and tired of talking about this. But it's reached that point now where there are so many people vaxxed and so many people like giving into being vaxxed because it's like, hey, you want to work or you want to like not work? Like, you tell us. and it's, you know, like the vaxxed, I believe, outweigh the anti-vax now by good amount, I want to say. And now it's just kind of like, wow, you idiots are going to keep the pandemic going so that when we get to like an Omega variant that kills, you know, 95% of life on Earth, you guys can be free to just be dead way before that. So congrats. But yeah, it's dumb to just give free publicity to these people that just want to scream and yell about this, that, or the other thing. Channel 4. It's crazy. You guys recorded this, 2 days ago? And Channel 4 already stepped in it again by doing a story on some people from Albion, which is closer to Rochester than Buffalo, about how like they weren't allowed to go to a comedian because they weren't vaxxed up. And it's like, cool, stay home, have fun. Like, that's not a story anymore. But Channel 4 did a story on it. Thanks, guys. Cool. We get to like unearth people that aren't even in the watching area to do a story about how bothered they are about like not trying to stay healthy. And it's like, just fuck off already, please.
Joe, you know, it's not even the vaccination versus unvax part anymore. Joe's big issue, which in fairness to him, and I love to disagree with Joe from Queens. All right. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Those are your
It's literally a hobby of mine. I love to take the opposite side of him and go back and forth in part because I think he's wrong a lot. In part because I just like to get a reaction out of him sometimes, quite frankly, but his points were right. It's one-sided storytelling. That's my big issue. And just some of the stuff just ain't news. Again, with Doug Allen, bottom line is this, man, if he was going to sing the national anthem, great. He's fine. And if he doesn't, there is no shortage of people who are very capable of getting that microphone and doing a very just as adequate of a job singing the national anthem. People are going to stand up. They're going to take their hats off. They're going to put their hand over their heart. They're going to either sing along out loud or at least, you know, quietly to themselves. And they're going to give a nice round of applause at the end of the national anthem. Period. End of story. So whether Doug Allen does it or not, vaccinated or not, I really don't give a shit. It's not fucking news. That was my point. The whole thing that kind of set off Joe on a rampage, which, again, he's right about a lot of this stuff. But who gives a shit, man? People could sing the national anthem. It's not like Jack Eichel with a unique skill set. Well, how the hell are we going to replace him if we trade him? All right, Doug Allen's a dime a dozen. And it's not newsworthy for him to not sing the national anthem. Rick Jeanneret retiring, that's newsworthy. Dude is a Hall of Fame caliber broadcaster. That's big news. He's part of the fabric. If you think Doug Allen is part of the fabric of the Buffalo Sabres, then this organization is even fucking worse than I ever thought it could be.
Yeah.
Come on. It's just not. Here's not news.
The part that kills me about the anthem thing is that he doesn't do every game. He doesn't do every home game. Yeah. Like if the Sabres have a home game on a Friday night, he's not doing the anthem that night because he's got other commitments.
He's at an NRA meeting. Or
NHL. What's bigger than the NHL in the area? And he's doing the other's game. Like, what? Like you're like get lost.
I get hired,
man,
for birthday parties. He's doing somebody or something.
I don't know if it's like Canisius High School football or Canisius basketball or like, just dude, like, just get lost. Like they bring in other singers who are better than he is. Like they bring in like a host of like local like country singers or like just natural singers, like whatever it is. Just I'll bust Paul Hamilton's ass. Just follow his account. You'll get to figure out who the other singers are. But like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, if he hasn't blocked you yet, I should say. But but I mean, like, dude can't make the Sabres games his priority. Like, what? Get lost, you clown. Nobody's going to miss you. Nobody's going to miss you. And your whole pointing kick.
It's just crazy to me, man. It's just crazy to me to that's news. Again, just be better, local media. Straight up, frankly. I mean, again, one-sided storytelling with not a lot of good sourced-out information about that side. Stuff that's not news. It is news here. It just shouldn't be.
It's the kind of stuff that makes Buffalo look like small time peanuts when that's like a big story. Like I kind of say the same thing when Bill's stuff leads the newscast at night, but like I kind of get it, but also it makes me kind of cringe a little bit just because I'm just like, isn't there other stuff going on? Like do you have to lead with the Bills? Like, I mean, I get why you do it. I 100% get why
world,
they do it.
Maybe also, it's just like, the world we live in today, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. But all right. So listen, later on, we're going to do our starting five draft. And again, it's going to be 80s music act. And this kind of ties in. I got a take for you.
Okay.
I didn't tell you about this ahead of time.
Oh boy. Okay.
And if you don't agree and you're not going to, I'm going to, I even got a couple points to that I think prove my point. So this week I got set up. I got this home office here and I got this service. I don't know any other way to say it, man.
Okay.
Cable. Ain't legal. All right, let's just put it that way. All right, I'm paying for a service where you get a lot of channels and a lot of shit. Everybody out there knows what I'm talking
about. Stringing together antennas.
Exactly. And yeah. So, you know, you pay a fee and you get everything in the world, whatever. I got that this week. Got everything set up. Got a Google Chromecast so that the feed would be better. Got my internet speed upgraded because it was like still from like 2006 in this house that I'm living at now. It's just, you know, whatever. But one of the channels I got was a Rocky 24/7. There's a lot of these 24/7 channels on. So like
Rocky 24/7.
Yeah, there's like a Marvel one for movies. We just did Marvel a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So there's an Adam Sandler channel. There's just these movies that just play nonstop around the clock. You put the channel on, and they just rotate. They play them all the time. So I spent last night and then today. We're taping this Thursday afternoon, so all of Thursday morning, and I've been up early watching Rocky movies, and I've seen them all a million times. Rocky's my favorite franchise of all times. I got a take, man. Rocky III, and I tweeted this. Rocky III is the best Rocky of all the Rockies. And the only reason, and I can tell you that now, I could save this for a future starting five draft, but there, even if you count the Creed movies, there's not even 10 of them. So we can't do that draft. So I'm going to throw it out there now. Rocky III of all the movies is the best Rocky. And you probably don't agree. Let me explain to you a couple of reasons why. Well, let me tell you why I think it is. All right. Number one, you got the unlikely coming together of two rivals, Rocky, Apollo, beat the living shit out of each other the first two fights, you know, the first two movies. They come together, unexpected, plot twist, like a good wrestling angle there. You got a seemingly unbeatable heel, a brand new guy who wasn't in one or two with Clubber Lang, great fighter. His to this day, his prediction of pain and that gif, you know, popular saying is it's a popular gif that we still use now. You got, in my estimation, maybe the saddest movie scene in history of any movie, Mickey dying. Broke my heart then, breaks my heart now. I still cry every time I think about it. I love Mickey, one of the greatest movie characters of all time. You got Eye of the Tiger, which turned out to be one of the best songs in the entire decade of the 80s, which, in fairness, it didn't play that big of a role in the actual movie itself, but it was a huge hit, and it led the Rocky III soundtrack. So you have Eye of the Tiger. We just spent freaking 15 minutes talking about wrestling to start this podcast, dude.
Yep.
I'm a huge wrestling mark. You got Hulk Hogan, a young Hulkster, playing Thunder Lips. That's awesome. You got the beach. You got two big beach scenes, too. You got Adrian's pep talk to Rocky, where he's just dogging in, and he's kind of mailed it in, and she gets him going, man. She, she's the one who convinces him. It wasn't Apollo. It wasn't Pauly. It was Adrian who finally gave him that big pep talk he needed to get his ass moving. And then you had that classic, epic Rocky versus Apollo racing scene on the beach, where Rocky finally wins, and they had that cheesiest hug of all time.
Freeze frame hug.
Yeah. Water. Great imagery, man. So you have all that shit. And then after Rocky 1 and 2, and by the way, I loved Rocky 1 and 2, don't get me wrong, but this Rocky 3 had just, it had a more modern feel to it, like at the time, cinematically, like it looked newer, like the just everything about it, you know, the color, the quality of the film. Like, even when you watch it today, and that movie was from 1982, so you're talking almost 40 years ago, it doesn't feel like it's that old of a movie. You throw on Rocky 1, Rocky 2, it feels like it's centuries ago that movie was made. Rocky 3 doesn't feel that way, man. So, you know, Rocky 2, I think, had the best fight with Apollo versus Rocky, the rematch. Yeah. I think Rocky 4 is the best music soundtrack. I think we might have hit on that before. But for me, Rocky 3 is a total package, man. Total package. Do you agree? What's your favorite Rocky?
Well, my favorite one's the cheesiest one. It's Rocky IV. I love everything about Rocky IV because, and I know that's like the crossing point in the franchise where it's like, oh, okay,
definitely
this guy. Okay, you're in this for montages and music, and you know,
it's the last great Rocky.
Yeah, no, I 100%. I like Rocky Balboa, but. It's fine. Antonio Tarver, I mean, for being a boxer asked to act, not bad. He did fine. Like, I mean, you know, Mr. T wasn't a boxer, you know, Carl Weathers wasn't a boxer. They were actors that had to box. So like, I get it. But like, to me, the first Rocky's still the best one. And it's like, you're right. It looks very dated. Like Philadelphia has never looked like a more gross city before like on film. So like, you're watching it, you're just like, oh man, I think I need to take a shower. Like, you're just like, everything about this is kind of gross, but like the story is perfect in that. But man, Rocky III takes you on the ride. Like that's it's all over the place. And like, it's got like that pro wrestling sort of edge to it where Clubber Lang is such an asshole. Like he's an unrepentant bully of a bastard. And he's just, does not relent the entire movie. He never, even when he loses, he's still just like pissed off about it. But like he's beaten. Like that's it. Spoiler alert, everybody, Clubber loses. But like,
and you never hear from him again too. I've always wondered about
that. No, he's gone.
Like Apollo loses, he resurfaces obviously in Rocky 3 and 4. Clubber Lang runs through the entire heavyweight division. He destroys Rocky in the first fight. He gets knocked out in the second, and then he's never heard from him again.
Yeah. Like it's, I mean, like obviously story things, you know, are because of that, but like I would have rather seen Clubber Lang come back in Rocky V than
Tommy Gunn,
man. Like there Rocky V had more dumb shit in it than Tommy Morrison was fine, but like the guy that was aping Don King, get out of here, man. Just awful.
Yeah, it jumped the shark. Rocky Five.
Touch me and I sue you. Like, please, I'll sue you for making me watch this movie. Come on. But like, but yeah, no, like, I think you oversold that how much that you think Rocky Three is because you think it's the best one. Like, I think a very clear argument can be made that it's the best one because it's got the most like ups and downs to it. I know Rocky One's got the ups and downs, but that's more on the emotional level, where it's the action and the emotion in Rocky Three. Like, you kind of hate Apollo in Rocky One, but like you come to appreciate him at the end. And then obviously, you know, Rocky Two, it's a different story. The Rocky Three, like, they're best friends. So like, who cares? But yeah, like, yeah, I don't know. I can't fight you on this one too much. Like,
Rocky One and Two is very layered story. It's like, everything comes back to wrestling in my life when I talk. It's a slow build. You know what I mean? It's a build for an hour and a half, whatever it may be, to that climatic fight. Whereas Rocky Three, and I appreciate that, you appreciate that Rocky One and Two. I'm talking about those types of movies. But there are some people that want that action, man. It's like, all right, come on, let's move it along. All right, and like in Rocky II, he's trying to not box anymore. He's trying to do commercials and then do all this other stuff. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ, just, you know you're going to fight him again. Just get to it. Rocky III is just nonstop. Things happen. Like, you can't miss 10, if you're watching it for the first time, you can't miss 15 minutes of the movie because you're going to miss a lot of shit. I feel like in Rocky I, Rocky II, unless it's the last, you know, the fight in the last half hour or so, you can miss some chunks of that and you're not missing too much.
Where I disagree with you a lot is that I cannot stand Rocky II. Rocky II drives me up a wall, and part of it's the pacing. Also, part of it is that the entire story is Rocky just being like, I don't know if I want to fight no more. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Adrian screeching at him. Rocky being like, I don't know, Adrian. I don't want to do this no more. It's tough. I don't like
that's it. Not a bad impression, by the way.
It's I mean, I've been working on it, but like, but I mean, like, the whole movie is just like, get on with it, dude. Like, quit being a dickhead. Just go in the ring and fight, you clown. Like, you want to beat Apollo, don't you, idiot? Like, that's how Adrian was a real Philly chick. She would have been like, quit being a dickhead and get in the ring. Like, that would have been the whole thing. It's like, I think you're a big fill in the blank word for somebody who doesn't want to fight. Because I don't want to use any of those words, honestly. But like, use that word and be like, just go fight him already. Quit crying. I'm sick of you hanging around the house and crying all the time. Just go fight him.
I like Rocky IV. You said that's your favorite one, but
But it's cheesy. Like, Rocky IV is great.
It is cheesy, but it's intentionally cheesy. Yeah. I guess my issue with Rocky IV is Rocky is like the worst fucking trainer that's ever walked the face of this earth. He's the biggest Debbie Downer. I mean, he first of all, he doesn't really train him. And then he's in the room with him before the fighting. He's trying to talk him out of fighting. Well, maybe you should put this off for a couple of weeks. I literally just watched this a couple hours ago, by the way. So he's kind of trying to plant these seeds of doubt in his head. And then obviously in the ring, if he would have just, I don't care what Apollo tells you, he's in the heat of the action, man. Throw that towel in and he at least lives to fight another day. That second round should have never happened.
But
never
also, he's thinking it's an exhibition fight. So, like, he's got to go easy on me. Like, that was the whole thinking.
And the ref should have stopped it before.
See, I'll say that. That's where Rocky had him. He's like, I don't know, man. I don't like the idea of this. And Apollo's, it's just going to be a good time out there. Like, and that's when Rocky should have been like, I don't know. I thought it was going to be a good time with Thunderlips, and he kicked my ass. So, you know what? I don't know, Apollo. Maybe he's got to, like, stay out of this. But, you don't get in there with like a Soviet killing machine.
Right. Like, I agree.
Like, think it's going to be a good fun time party. Like, no.
Agreed. But at the end of the day, Rocky as a manager, as a corner guy,
terrible.
At best, he was negligent. And at worst, he literally directly led to Apollo getting killed.
Yeah. And he wasn't. So, here's the thing. He was so bent out of shape about Mickey, like Clubber basically killing Mickey. For all intents and purposes, he killed Mickey. Mm-hmm. And he was like bent out of shape. He lost his mind over that. Like, yeah, you should. But like when Drago single-handedly kills Apollo, and Rocky's just kind of like, what the hell? Like, it's like, I don't know if I can fight this guy. I don't know. Somebody got to help me out here. Like,
bad management too, Joe, by the way. He takes a fight for no money on Christmas in Russia. I mean, no, he did win. Okay, in fairness to him, but who's advising him to take a flight in Russia at Christmas for no money against a guy who just literally killed Apollo?
I say, did Paulie advise him? Like, was there like gambling money involved?
No.
Or something? Paulie was too in the bag to like to advise him, or he's hanging out with his robot pal. So, which is even more Rocky IV is ridiculous. But like, but you don't get the training sequences in Russia where like the script flips. Like Rocky's like climbing mountains and punching trees, and Drago's, you know, a hamster in a science experiment, you know, doing the 2,500 PSI punch or whatever the hell it was, like just doing all these things. And Brigitte Nielsen is just like, you know, standing over him, just lording over him as he's, you know, all greased up and just punching everything in a gym. And, you know, Rocky's like bench pressing the Ural Mountains or something. And it's just like, okay, like, I guess this works. He's getting followed by the KGB. And it's like, all right, man, like, cool, I guess. Like, you know, I guess it's how Drago grew up in Russia, like climbing mountains and punching trees and wrestling bears. And then Rocky gets to do it to fight Drago. And then we get to the end. It's like, if we could change, you could change. And yay, the Cold War was over.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, we're back. Part two of the Rocky cast. Dear sponsors, by the way, dear sponsors, sorry, it only took 40 minutes to get to the sponsor breaks. That's what happens. If you get wrestling and Rocky involved in a podcast, things are going to go south for me. Really?
All of our plans really for quick. This podcast just got thrown right out the window. Just like, you know, we're just going to do it. That's what makes a casual Friday.
It is casual Friday.
We can do plans, but we could also just say, let's go off the cuff.
If this was formal Friday, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But this is casual Friday. We do whatever the hell we want to do right now. Yeah. So, all right, we will at least gloss over the Bills. Not going to talk about the game. I will say this, though. They whooped Washington. And the only time, you know, seven or a couple minutes before the half, Washington cut it to seven, but that was just on two fluke plays, a long screen pass. I don't want to say onside kick, the misjudgment of Isaiah McKenzie on a long kickoff that led to that Washington getting the ball back and scoring.
He skied that. I think he did that on purpose. I think the kicker did that on purpose just because to cause confusion, because he friggin' recovered the ball too. Like that's the other part of it. Like
former Buffalo Bill kicker too, by the way.
Right. Like he kicked it so high in the air that everybody's just like, you got it? No, I got it. No, you get, okay, whatever. Like you're not expecting that. Nobody expects a sky ball on that.
My only takeaway from that game almost a week later now is that my preseason bowl predictions, so when we were on doing some stuff, I had Washington being the second seed in the entire NFC. I think it's pretty safe to say that shit is down the tubes already, man. That's down the tubes. They're okay. They're all right, but they certainly are no, they're no NFC contender.
If they hadn't lost that, the D tackle, to injury last week, maybe it's a little different because the ends were able to kind of get around, but they had no push up the middle.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think that changes the outcome of the game.
Absolutely not. That was the game that Bills fans, if you're a big optimistic Bills fan, or if you're the national media who picked the Bills to go to the Super Bowl this year, that's the game you were waiting to see where they've looked good on defense all year, but they were just as good on offense as defense. Josh Allen, after two subpar performances, played at an MVP level. They're playing Houston this Sunday. I ain't going to bother.
Let's not break it down.
Here's a news flash, dude. The Bills are going to win. They're going to be 3-1 going in the next week, which by the way, an opportunity to plug Casual Friday sponsor, Casey's Black Rock. It's always fun to go there. You should go there anytime. Mm-hmm. But next Sunday is going to be lit, man, because that is a Kansas City Chiefs friendly bar. It is a Chiefs backer bar, right. But there's a lot of Bills fans, obviously.
Vinny's a Chiefs fan, man. Like that's
He's a big Chiefs fan. Props to him. Respect to him. But anyway, the Bills at the Chiefs next Sunday, Casey's Black Rock. That should be, if you want to go watch a game where you're not just around Bills fans and you want to experience, you know, want to like playing at a neutral site field, what a great bar that'll be to go watch that game. It's going to be a fun game. Buffalo and Kansas City. Kansas City's only 1-2 right now.
Yep.
They're struggling. They got beat at home by the Chargers. The Bills have not looked good on offense for the games. They kind of bounced back. But make no mistake, the luster is still there. Those are still probably the two best teams in the AFC. And that's going to be fun.
I almost want to argue it's too early in the season for these two to play each other. I'd say both teams are still kind of feeling it out, getting their act together. Kansas City, to me, looks like one of those teams that's just kind of like, let's just get through the regular season. Let's turn it up for the playoffs. That's the way they acted last year, certainly. I mean, they had injury issues and shit, but like,
right.
But they seem like the team that is like, all right, like whatever. I mean, they'll be up for this game. Obviously, you know, you lose to San Diego. You lose to the Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers. Get lost with that. Please go back to San Diego. But that's a wake up call. You know, you don't get picked apart by Justin Herbert and think like, that's that. Like, no, dude, like they're in your division. You better get your stuff.
Chargers are good. But the Raiders are playing good.
Like, I don't know.
They shouldn't lose. That's what I was going to ask you, because next week we'll talk more because it'll just be a couple days away. You know, Bills versus Chiefs, and we'll look forward to that game a little bit more. But Denver and the Raiders are the two teams right now in the AFC that are 3-0. There's only two teams in the conference. And let's just put it this way. The 1972 Miami Dolphins, they're not going to be sweating it out this year. They're not going to have to wait that much longer to be popping that champagne like they do every year. Neither of those teams are, they're okay teams. They're decent. But this is still a Buffalo, Kansas City, Cleveland, Baltimore conference. I don't think anybody is ready to put the Raiders or Denver in the top four, even five in this conference right now.
You know, when I see teams that I think are absolute fakes, like they're phonies, they're pretenders, whatever you have, I can't help but think of that scene in The Dark Knight where the Joker meets up with all the other gangsters in the city very early in the movie. And he's basically lecturing them and saying, like, you know, if I think somebody in here is going to fold, and he points to the Chinese businessman on the TV and he goes, and he just points at him. And then the guy just shuts off his camera and he's just like, he's out. And he's like, if I think somebody here is going to fold, it's them. And right now it's me looking at a TV, looking at the picture of the Broncos on the TV and going, That's them. They are
fake. Dude, they beat, they beat also, the Giants.
Like, I believe the Raiders, like, but like the Broncos are fake as shit. Like
the Broncos, they beat in the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Jets. The
Raiders
have beaten the Ravens. They've won. They beat the Steelers, a team that beat the Bills, and the Raiders beat them in Pittsburgh. So the Raiders have been a more impressive 3-0, far more than Denver, because again, Denver has played arguably the three worst teams in the entire NFL.
Extra exhibition games.
But the Raiders were really good last year. Yeah, the Raiders were really good last year early on, and then they stumbled, and I could see that happening again. The only thing that, when I look at records in the AFC this year right now, where I'm like, oh shit, this team's either really good or on the other end, oh shit, this team's buried. I'm really close to saying, and I had them pegged to make the playoffs, and we both did. The Indianapolis Colts at 0-3, man. I think they're just about buried already. They're already 0-3. There's like literally no more room for error. Carson Wentz is already hurting both his ankles. Who else knows what's wrong with him?
He was hurt. This is just a team that,
they're not playing well at all. And again, when you lose your first three games and you start, I don't know the stats. And obviously there's one more game, so maybe it would change a little bit. But still, man, when you start 3-0, the odds of you making the playoffs are not very good. You know what I mean? And I didn't think the Colts were like an elite team, but I thought they were a solid choice to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're 0-3 and they're at Miami and they're at Baltimore their next 2 weeks. Dude, they might be 0-5 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I mean, we knocked Denver for beating up on like the remedial teams of the NFL. Indy's schedule hasn't been easy. Like they lose to Seattle, lose to the Rams, and then they lose in Tennessee, which is, I mean, that's a division game. Teams. They're all good.
And two like, more tough ones coming up.
You gotta beat Tennessee. Like if you lose to the Rams and Seattle, okay, fine. Those are home games, which stinks, but like I can understand it because Seattle's better. The Rams are better. But Tennessee, I think you and I were split on how we felt about Tennessee.
I think they're overrated.
Like right.
They're 2-1 and they're good.
Like to me, like, and you know, they played them on the road, so it's like, I don't know, I get it, but I don't know. I'll kill Denver for playing a bunch of those dumbass teams or the bunch of dumbass teams, but I'll give the Colts a break, but it ain't easy now. The next two games are
there's
good
the
for
weekly
them.
Joe Yurden the background
ambulance
ambient
is
noise.
The ambulance is coming for Carson Wentz there, taking him out. But like but that's the hole they put themselves in. Like if they go 1-2 of those first three games, you're like, okay. But like Miami without Tua, like I ain't feeling Miami right now. Like, but that game's in Miami. So like, I don't know, but Baltimore. No, they, if Lamar's back by then, probably it's okay. But, yeah, their schedule, I don't know. Their schedule lightens up a bit after Baltimore.
Yeah, like, but it might not even matter. You lose your 0-4, you're done. So
they still got two games with Jacksonville left.
They got
the Jets. Like they got Houston coming up. Like they'll turn around. And like that division's not good. Like they could have a crap record and still win the division.
I don't know. I think they're done.
I don't want to give them a lot of outs here, but
0-3 with what's ahead of them. I think it's
not great.
I really do. I'll tell you one more football.
But are we going to count out? Hang out. Are we going to count out Frank Reich when things are down bad? Are you saying
we're doing that?
Okay.
Normally no, but I am now. there's just too many teams that are better than them. Quite frankly, there's too many teams that are better than them. I mean, Buffalo, Kansas City, Cleveland. Quite frankly. I agree with you about Denver. I think the Raiders are better than Indy. And again, Indy's 0-3, man.
Yeah.
That matters. It's not like they get a redo on that. There is one game before we talk Sabres for a few here. This is going to be must-see TV, whether people want to admit it or not. I'm very much looking forward to seeing if Sunday night's game sets ratings records, because it might. You got Tampa Bay on the road, Tom Brady going to Foxborough to play the Patriots. Don't matter how the Patriots are this year. Doesn't matter. Don't matter. Yep. It's Tom Brady going back to New England for the first time. Everybody's going to be watching that game. Mm-hmm. I'll be watching it. And I typically, by the time Sunday night gets, by the time it comes I'm usually kind of burnt out from football from the weekend because I try to watch college football. Obviously, I watch football all day on Sunday.
Right.
If the Sunday night game doesn't interest me, I'm usually kind of checked out mentally at that point. I'm watching this game. Everybody's going to watch this game. I think this might smash ratings records.
I 100% agree. And you know what? Buffalo fans, you basically, you probably turn off the Bills Houston game at halftime. Just be okay with it. At least I'm guessing. As long as if the old Bills show up, then it's like, well, they're only up by six at the half. I don't know. But you can, I think you can tune out and just be like, hey, we're good. Let's save ourselves for tonight and watch how this goes. Especially now that Seth Wickersham's book is coming out and a bunch of excerpts have come out and like information about what's in that book about the end of that Patriots dynasty with Brady and Belichick and all that stuff. And it's fascinating. Like, I can't wait. I don't usually look forward to buying sports books. Just not my, you know, if I'm reading stuff, it's history or it's like, it's classic fiction. I'm a dork, okay? I'm a huge dork. As if the first 20 minutes of wrestling talk didn't solve it for you. I'm a huge dork. But this one, I'm friggin' reading. Like, this one ranks up there with, like, the Jordan rules as far as, like, getting dirt and telling you the behind-the-scenes story of how these things go. Because everything in it is just fascinating. From, like, figuring out, like, finding out about how, you know, kind of emotional Brady is as a guy to how much of a huge asshole Bill Belichick is, which we all kind of assumed. But when you see it, when you have it like laid out like that in front of you, you're just like, God, what a prick. Like, just like Tom wants to say, you know, hey, thanks for all the years. I want to say goodbye to you face to face. And Bill's like, yeah, I'm busy. Just call me. Like, what? Right. You just won six Super Bowls together, dude. Like, what do you mean you don't have time? You kidding me? Like, geez, that's a beautiful, stupid, great drama. Like, that's the kind of dumb shit I like to read.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a fun game. I'm looking forward to watching it. On the Sabres front, all right, look, I'm going to start, because now it's preseason. I'm going to make a concerted effort. That's the best I could say. I'm going to make a concerted effort to be a little more open-minded towards this team and a little bit nicer to this organization until the wins and losses tell me that I shouldn't. Right now, at the end of the day, like it or not, they got the same record as the Pittsburgh Penguins and Las Vegas and everybody else, man. They're 0-0, all right? So I'm going to try. People think I'm just a straight-up hater with the Sabres. Maybe they're right. So I'm going to try to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to try to drink a little bit of the Kool-Aid and try to buy into the message that Kevin Adams is absolutely ridiculously trying to sell fans on. Oh, I just kind of slipped there already. But anyway, all right, so we can't talk about we're taping this Thursday. We can't talk about the Detroit game because we're taping this before they play. So can't talk about that. Ken, Tuesday, they did open up the preseason. I did not watch. I'm just going to put that out there right now. Mm-hmm. They beat Columbus 5-4 in a shootout. From what I've seen on Twitter and, you know, read, it was a fun game to watch. I wouldn't know. You know. So just spend a minute or two talking about, like, who looked good in that game? Who stood out? So between the first couple practices and now you have an exhibition game to kind of go off of, like, you got a couple very, very, very early in camp thoughts about who's looking really good. Maybe somebody who might push for a spot that you wouldn't have thought, or where you might think somebody might slot in that maybe a couple days ago you weren't quite sure about.
I really liked how Will Butcher played on defense. What I didn't like was reading from Don Granato the next day was that Butcher said, yeah, I'll play as much as you want. And he played him 28 minutes in the game. It's the first preseason game. You're playing one of your defensemen almost 30 minutes. I get he wants to play. Like, I understand, but like, he's making the team. You don't have to put him out there all the time. Like, there's no threat of Will Butcher missing the Sabres roster. He's going to be a top four defenseman. You don't have to play him 28 minutes. Play some of these other guys that like you want to get a look at because you might be sending them back in, you know, a couple of days. But he played great. It was hard to not notice him because he was on the ice for half the game. So that was good. John Hayden played nice. Like, he was one of those signings that they had where it was just kind of like, all right, there's a guy. Like, all right, there's a guy that's going to play in the bottom six. But he played with some control. He played pretty decent, and he was able to make it work pretty well with that line with Ritsalainen. I think Ritsalainen's going to be a player. A lot of people, well, I can't say a lot of people. That's a straw man argument for me, but a couple of people had kind of like I said Ritsalainen's a guy to keep an eye on because I think he's gonna get a fair amount of time. And they're just like, wow, really? You think so? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. And man, the guy's a fire plug, like at center. Like he's a little guy, can't knock him off his skates. He gets to the front of the net. That's what he has to do. Like it was him, Hayden, and Brett Murray. And I know everybody's hot on Brett Murray after the prospect challenge, but like I want to see a little bit more from Murray. I think Murray's playing against Detroit, so we'll see what's going on there. But I think he's going to get a long look in camp because I think they might. He's got the kind of size. I mean, he's like, what, 6'5"? He's a 6'5" forward. So, like, you need somebody who's a little bit of a heavy. He doesn't fear punching somebody in the face if he's got to. And, you know, I think I've talked about him before in other podcasts. He's a room guy. Like, he's beloved by basically everybody. So, like that line did well. Cousins, Quinn, and Paterka looked great. Paterka looked absolutely unfazed by anything. He looks fantastic. Like, one game doesn't mean anything. Practices mean nothing. Prospect challenge, whatever. Like, I'm keeping my eye on him very closely as the rest of the camp goes on, because I think if he has a good enough camp, he's staying.
Really?
I know it's his first year. I know they're saying they want to do, they want to develop, they want to do all this stuff, but like, if he plays that way, keep him up. And then if he starts to struggle, send him back. Like, you don't have to like keep him. He's not there forever. Like, you know, he's what, 19. You don't have to keep him up forever. That's fine. Quinn was frustrating. Cousins was hot and cold during the game. And whenever Cousins was pushing the puck and going to the net and taking it hard to the net, I loved it. But there were some occasions where he kind of wilted. And I don't know if that was just because he was like kind of backing off because Paterka was doing so well. But there was some up and down play there. And that's fine. That line was playing against the Columbus NHL guys the whole night long. So like that's to be expected. Quinn, I know he had the shootout goal and people are wetting their pants about it. Like, he beat a guy that he beat a goalie I'd literally never heard of in my life. Jet Greaves. Like, great name. That's a great friggin' hockey name. Jet Greaves. He's an action movie hero waiting to happen. I don't know if that guy's really got to be an AHL goalie, never mind an NHL goalie, but like, okay, he schooled Jet Greaves. Cool. Great. Thanks. Like that's neat. Like, way to go. But the whole game, he turned the puck over a lot. There was a lot of bad play along the walls. The turnovers in zone as they're trying to escape were bad. Like, a lot of Columbus chances happened because Quinn wasn't able to handle the puck well or gave it away or whatever. I need him to play a lot better. I know there's some people that are saying, like, oh, I was really impressed with him. Oh, I love that shootout goal. Uh-uh. No, like, you play that way in the NHL, dude, you're going to be a minus 1,000 in the NHL playing that way. So I need better from him. And I know there's half of Sabres Twitter's like, you're being too hard on him. Blah, blah, blah. Like, what if he's like Josh Allen? Like, oh, everybody fucking chill out about Jack Quinn, please. But like, look at it for what it is. He didn't play great. Yeah, he gets the big highlight. Good for him. But like, it's the 5-on-5 play. It's the 60 minutes before the fucking shootout that counts. And like, that wasn't very good. So I don't know. I want to see more of those kids because I think most of the NHL roster is set already. I don't think there's a ton of competition there. I'm not sweating too much of that. Like, Gergens is on the NHL team. I barely noticed him at all in that game. So whatever. So yeah, like those are a handful of the guys I just want to watch more. I'm not getting into the competition shit because we only watch one game. It'll be two after tonight, but I need to see the rest of the roster play tonight to get an idea. And I really want to see Luukkonen have a lot of success against Detroit Thursday night.
That's what I was going to say. So I feel like by the time we talk next week, so you got the game tonight, this Thursday, as we're taping this again, because we're taping it before. You got Friday. Yeah. If you're listening on Friday, you got Pittsburgh, a home game that night, tonight. Columbus next Monday. You got at Pittsburgh next Tuesday. So you got four games, actually five games if you count the game against Detroit before we hook up again. So hopefully we'll learn a lot more about this team and you'll have some more, you know, talking points for next week's episode. I will say another thing though. If this team sucks again, not if, how bad when? This team sucks again, right? When they suck again, this could be fun because tanking can be fun. Not that the Sabres are going to tank. The Sabres are not tanking.
No.
I think I'm talking about fans who want the Sabres to tank. Going to have some fun. Because
those psychos I want to meet. Like people are like, just, yeah, get to the bottom again. Yeah. Like let me find those sickos, man.
You might be talking to one of them right now. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. Anyway, this past year, there was no consensus. So there was nobody worth, oh man, it's going to be so cool if the Sabres suck. They're going to get the best chance to get this guy. But with Shane Wright, there is. Earlier this week, I tweeted out, take it could be fun this year. And I had hashtag Sabres suck for Shane, which is very uninspiring. Very boring. That was a mailing in one. You had a good one. Down the drain for Shane. You tweeted that. Yeah. And we're talking about Shane Wright, who is a very, he's the consensus number one prospect for the draft for next year. It's not going to be like this year where it's going to be Owen Power or somebody else. It's going to be Shane Wright next year. So anyway, down the drain for Shane. That could be fun. And I saw one, The Price is Right, W-R-I-G-H-T.
Okay.
Spelled his last name. The Price is Right. I like that.
I put a couple in my latest piece on Die by the Blade column I posted the other day. Please go read it, everybody. giant shameless plug there. But I came up with a couple other ones. Blight for Wright. I don't know if that's a little too heady, but like Pain for Shane.
For Shane could be good.
Pain for Shane, I think. I don't know. We might have to do a poll of some of these to see which one the fans want to run with, because there's a lot of really good options, unfortunately. Shane Wright, for having a very rhymable name. That's great.
And this could be, I know, and my son's name's Shane, so I thought of these a lot too. But anyway, there's not a good chance. There's a near certainty that we're going to be discussing at some point during this season the Sabres' potential to end up landing Shane Wright. So gonna have a little bit of fun with it. If this team's gonna suck, like I said, I'm gonna make a more concerted effort to be open about this team and open-minded. But once that's down the drain after 6 or 7 games, then I will start to try to have a little more fun in other ways. And that will be hoping that we suck and that I will start thinking about the future 6 or 7 games into the season. It's just the way it's gonna be, man.
I can't wait to have weekly talks with you about how bad this team's gonna be, because it's gonna be, I don't know if it's gonna be different levels of exasperation or if it's gonna turn into like Mystery Science Theater 3000. Like, and it could be either one.
And I'm gonna warn you right now that right now I'm in a really chill mood. I got a good vibe going on right now. I'm in a good mind space today. But that doesn't happen often, and especially doesn't happen when it comes to this team, because I've said this many times to you and other people on this show. I'm pissed off at this team more than I've ever been ever because of guys like Reinhart and ultimately Eichel that are gone. When I look at what this team could have been, these young guys right now, and then you have a happy, motivated Jack Eichel and a happy, motivated Sam Reinhart, this could have been a completely different team.
Yeah.
And Linus Ullmark and Net, if you could have found a way to keep him, and then that, you know, that affords you to bring UPL along even more slowly than maybe they do now. So this could have been a team that at least could have been competitive. And they're not going to be, and it fucking pisses me off. Ooh, No.
You're getting wound up before anything happens.
Right. But yeah, I can't promise anything in future weeks. Let's just put it that way. All right, let's wrap up here. Starting five drafts. So last week we did Marvel movie characters. I was trying to get a 3-game winning streak going. Did not happen. You won pretty convincingly.
It was
59-41. That's a lopsided win. It's pretty... It's not as lopsided as some of our other ones have been, but by normal standards, 59-41, pretty lopsided. So Joe took Iron Man, Captain America, Black Panther, Bucky Barnes, Rocket Raccoon. I ended up drafting Thor, Loki, Spider-Man, Thanos, and Black Widow, which that was not a good pick.
Black Widow was a good pick?
Nah, I think it was.
Thanos killed you.
I think I got a lot of criticism about taking Thanos, a heel. I think my biggest mistake for the purpose of this poll is you had the first pick and you took Iron Man.
Right.
I absolutely should have taken Captain America.
Yes.
I handed you the top two most known MCU characters for sure. So I handed you. That really hurt me.
You handed me the entire Avengers storyline is built around.
Yeah. And then like I said, having a couple. Yeah. Having Thanos hurt me. Low key. So I had two heels in mind, and Spider-Man as a movie character, not the same as the comic book character, you know, not as popular as the cartoon, the comic book character. I think that hurt me. I think this was a lot of times when one of us lose, we bitch about it.
Yeah.
I really can't bitch. There's not much I can really bitch about. I think I got what I deserved. I deserved the sell, so I'm all right with it.
I was nervous. People were hating on my Rocket Raccoon pick, and I was like, dude, I like my exploit. And Joe from Queens, he was like, Rocket, really? And I was like, he's the best character in the Guardians. Tell me he's not. Tell me he's not. Like, out of the group, I was like, tell me he's not the best character. Because if you tell me it's Groot, like, I Am Groot gets old after a little bit, but like,
it does. But I should have played up to the Buffalo polling crowd, and Groot would have, I think, played well because Gregory Rizzo is nicknamed Groot. But then I would have been, but I don't care about Groot. I would have been lying.
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, if you pick Drax, like, you could be like, oh, well, Dave Bautista's, yeah, that was a great role for him. Like, that's fun. But like, are you thinking of Drax off the top of your head when you're thinking top characters? No.
No. Look, man, I never like to lose, okay? So I don't want to make it sound like I'm acceptant of losing, but let's just say I've had a lot of practice at losing when it comes to doing these polls against you. I have to admit it. It is what it is. But again, I wasn't really mad last week. If I lose this week, I'm going to be mad because I'm not cheating, but I have dug into what my specialty is. Okay. It ain't chicken wings, folks. It's 80s music, pop culture. That's what I live for, especially 80s music. It's my favorite era to this day of music of all time. I probably listen to 80s music today more than I listen to popular music from today, if that's what you want to call it, or any other era, man. I'm just an 80s guy, period. So this week we're doing 80s music acts. I'm looking. Oh, so you had Iron Man last week.
Yes.
So I will have the first.
You're leading off.
I'm leading off. All right. So these are 80s music acts. That means they could be solo artists. Doesn't matter male or female. It could be a group, whatever. Any musical act from the 80s. All right, I'm first. Look, I'm not going to stretch this out. There ain't going to be no fucking drama here. I don't care about the percentage of fans who are going to bitch that I'm taking this person, because if you take anyone else but Michael Jackson to start a draft with 80s music, then you're just being foolish. All right, so there's no question in my mind. And again, unlike some of these others, I don't even need to explain why. I know what he's been alleged of doing. This isn't a draft of good humans, and I hope I don't get the same feedback I did when I took Jimmy Snuka in a wrestling draft a couple of months ago or so. But yeah, any other decision except for Michael Jackson is just an absolute waste. So no drama with me here, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, you got two. That's 100% the right call. And if you didn't take Michael Jackson, I was going to start planning my victory parade again. So good on you. But coming at you with a left and right hook here with Prince and Madonna. I know this is your wheelhouse, and I know I can't miss. So like,
I can't miss.
Like, I have to, we never do these things with a lot of pressure. I feel intense pressure to not miss on any pick. Cause I think if I think I get a really smart one, you're going to bury me and just be like, no, I know the better one.
Well, so I'll tell you right now, Madonna and Prince on my list are 2 and 4 respectively.
Okay.
All right. Madonna was 2.
Now I'm mad. I didn't get who your 3 was.
You're about to get it. Cause I got the next 2. All right. So look, Madonna was just an absolute icon of the '80s, man. She's an icon. She changed not just music, but style. You know, girls all of a sudden started popping up and doing the hair like her and dressing like her and wearing those boy toy buckle belts and shit like that. She made so much shit popular.
Fishnets became a thing. Like, it was just like, okay.
Her music doesn't really need to be discussed. And that's the thing about somebody's at the top. Like, what do you got to sell somebody on? You know how good their music was.
Right.
And then Prince, Purple Rain to this day is one of the greatest, maybe the greatest movie soundtrack of all time. Certainly by one artist. And that doesn't even account stuff that wasn't on there. Like Little Red Corvette, 1999.
Yeah.
Funny story too. I'd be remiss if I didn't say it. I'll just do this quickly with Prince. My father, and I've said this before on the show, I don't remember how it came up, but my father hated music from the 80s. My dad was the oldies guy, like Elvis, the 50s. And I grew up in the 80s, and that's probably how my son feels today, because I'm like, Shane, get this fucking shit off. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, or it's Drake or somebody that's playing. I grew up in the 80s, and my dad, I used to say that he had this really thick, heavy New York accent, because my father, born and raised in New York City. But anyway, I would have Michael Jackson and groups that I can't say because I might still draft one or two of these. And my dad would be like, Patrick, get the fucking shit off. But Prince was his guy, man. He had that Prince album and he would sit in the dining room and play Prince all the time. So my dad hated 80s music and loved Prince. Just it never made any sense to me. Anyway,
a nod to you picking Michael. My parents, my parents love music, but they didn't collect a lot of music and like cassette. We had tons of cassettes and whatever, but they damn well had Thriller. You better believe they had Thriller. Everybody. Like that. Everybody had Thriller, but like my parents having Thriller is just kind of
right.
Like, what? Okay. Like they had a bunch of Air Supply cassettes for crying out loud.
Like, hey, I like Air Supply.
Yeah.
I'm a big Air Supply guy. No, I'm not going to pick them, but I do like Air Supply. Yeah, look, this could have been a draft from all eras of music and history. I probably still would have picked Michael first if I had it. All right, so anyway, Madonna, Prince, two very good ones, and I'm up with two. All right, so I told you you picked my second and fourth on my list, respectively. So obviously, I got to stay true to mine. Third, which is my second pick, is Whitney Houston. She's maybe my favorite female singer of all time. Her first two albums in the 80s, her self-titled album, their second one was Whitney. Just hit after hit after hit after hit, seemingly came out of nowhere. Like when you talk about one of those overnight sensations, like literally from her debut single, she became like after Madonna, the biggest music star female music star of that era, without question too. Mm-hmm. I Want to Dance with Somebody to this day is still a very popular bar song or party song, whatever you want to call it. And she's also one of the biggest cautionary tales ever too. You know what I mean? It's really sad what happened, and it shows what happens when you get involved with the wrong people and things in your life that people don't see. They only saw her on TV. They only saw the star. They didn't see all the behind the scenes stuff and the struggle that she was going through. And again, meeting Bobby Brown and getting dragged into that kind of lifestyle, man, it sucks. So to think about what could have been makes it even harder. And then this one might not play as well with the mainstream audience, but so if I'm going to get hurt, this is the pick that's going to hurt me.
You're going to get hurt at your third pick.
With my third pick. Okay. And I probably could get away with it picking a fifth, but I'm picking a third because I'm staying true to my list. If it hurts me, it hurts me, but I wouldn't be able to look at myself in the mirror if I didn't pick this group early. Run DMC.
Nice.
They are the pioneers of rap. Mm-hmm. They made rap very mainstream before. And I know a lot of people would pick the Beastie Boys, and maybe you will too. I'm telling you, this was the first. I hate rap music today so much. I hate Drake and Lil Wayne and all these fucking names. I don't even know what the hell they are anymore. They don't even make any sense, okay? I hate rap music today. I grew up loving hip-hop in the 80s and the 90s, okay? Run DMC was the first rap group that I ever really loved, and they were as influential, and I truly believe this, they were as influential in the rap music genre then as the Beatles and Elvis were to rock and roll. That's how influential they were in that genre. So for that reason, plus I just loved their fucking music, I'd be remiss if I didn't pick them. So that's what I'm going with, man. So Whitney and Run DMC. And now you got two.
Now, I know when we think 80s, we think of like, the new wave music, hair metal thing, like things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave this open for discussion right now because I'm going to make a pick. And this is a band that's still around today. They started in the 80s. They had three of their biggest albums in the 80s. So
I think I know where you're going.
I probably do. My pick would be U2.
Mm-hmm. Fair pick.
And because like Joshua Tree was there. War was in 1983 or 84 or something like that. And like their first three huge albums. We're in the 80s. Like, I know Octung Baby was 91, but like, that's kind of a dividing line. Like Joshua Tree to me is a perfect album. Now do you consider them an 80s musical act because they started in the 80s, but they also were huge in the 90s. They forced their album onto friggin' iTunes in like 2000s, 2010, whatever it was. And they still perform now. I want to make sure that we're clear on like what we're doing now. Like I think everybody we picked has transcended multiple decades at least. So, but I know when we think 80s, like our mindset goes to one direction, but I'm like, U2 became a worldwide gigantic band in the 80s.
Yeah. I think it's absolutely a legitimate pick. Okay. They're a group. They're weird because
yes,
because you could say what you're saying right now about the 80s, and it's absolutely legitimate. If this was a 90s draft and you said you two, it would be equally legitimate.
Yeah.
Maybe even more. Certainly as much. Octone Baby in the early 90s, classic album. So U2 is one of those weird groups that's they didn't dominate one era and then they were just still around for the next. You know what I'm saying? Like they were really good in the 80s and then they were really good in the 90s and then beyond. It's a very fair pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's going to be up to the readers. There might be some readers or voters, I should say, who might say, no, they're the 90s or 2000s, maybe. But I actually, now my personal take, by the way, on U2, and I've said this before.
Right.
I don't personally love U2, but you would be foolish to not respect the careers and what they've done for music. Like, they're Hall of Famers.
Oh.
Period, end of story.
Yes.
My personal preference is I don't love U2's music. Sorry, Sal Capaccio and many others out there right now. But yeah, I respect the hell out of them. Like, their game is strong as shit, man. So it's a good pick. Absolutely.
Okay. That I feel better about that we come to an agreement. Because again, we have that mindset of just like, I'm not sure. Right. This next one, there's no argument about, and it's the Police.
Mm-hmm. Good. It's on my list.
Synchronicity and Synchronicity 2 are like all-time albums for me. And I love some of their early stuff where it's a little bit punkier. Like some of their stuff from like, I think it's late 70s, maybe. Late 70s, very early 80s. But like, they're if you bought their greatest hits only, and it's like it's automatically like a 2 CD giant amount of music. And the band, like the band is, I wish the band wasn't as, didn't end up hating each other as much as they did. Like they drove each other nuts. And I get it. Like Sting's a gigantic, gigantic personality. And like Stuart Copeland's one of the most incredible drummers out there. Like just percussionist. It's not even like drumming. He's all over the place. But like you get into like their hit out, like Synchronicity is just unreal. Like it's everything that they did was amazing. Like especially through the 80s, I mean, some of their stuff late in the 70s was good. But like, oh my god! Like I think they hit their absolute highest heights with their last album, and that came out like what, 83, something like that. Like oh my god! Like they were incredible. Like they were just an absolutely fantastic band.
I liked a handful of Police songs very much. And by the way, they are on my list. So
okay,
I have a list of. Look, I can have a list of 75 acts from the 80s, and I legitimately could probably talk about every one of them as well. I like the Police a lot. There were Spirits in the Material World were one of my favorite songs growing up. Everything, Little Thing She Does is Magic. Great. Don't Stand So Close to Me.
Yep.
King of Pain. I'm a big Police fan. Like I said, they were on my list. Those are two good picks. I like those. All right. So I got my last two, and one of them is going to be easy, and then goddamn that I don't know, man. Oh my god! After that, oh god, this is going to be hard. All right, well, my fourth one is for me is easy, and it's Hall & Oates. They're just a great pop rock band, period.
Yeah.
And I know they're one of those groups. You know, we just talked about U2. Are they 80s or 90s? And the answer is both.
Mm-hmm.
Hall & Oates. If this was a 70s music draft, we could use Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
You know, She's Gone, Sarah Smiles. Mm-hmm. Just Rich Girl. There's so many great songs from the 70s. Some people might say 70s Hall & Oates is the best. I'm taking them from the 80s because Kiss is on my list. You Make My Dreams Come True. Maneater. Private Eyes. I Can't Go For That. So many great songs from the 80s. And that, again, being the era that I grew up in, I loved Hall & Oates. I still love Hall & Oates. I still bang them out every day in my car when I'm driving. I have this list about maybe 20 songs on my little, I don't want to say, it's a specific playlist on my iPod that I play in my car, and like two or three of those songs are on there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. All right, this is where, man, God, this is going to hurt, man, because no matter what I do, there's about five or six, in fact, there's four on my top 10, and I can only pick one, but one of these two, I want these two equally for different reasons. You know, I got to do it. Phil Collins.
Oh, you prick.
I got to take Phil Collins. By the way, there's not many people other than Michael Jackson who went from having the kind of success of being in a group to solo success. like Phil had. Sting, obviously. So, you know, it's funny because this draft is full of people who have done their own thing very well, successfully or on mm-hmm. their own. But yeah, man, Phil Collins, dude, just a hit machine, man. He's a hit machine. Mm-hmm. Against All Odds is my favorite sad song to this day of all times. But One More Night in the Air Tonight. Studio, Wish It Would Rain. I Don't Care Anymore. There's just so many great songs for Phil that I would just be, I can't have an 80s draft, have him on the board with the, what is it, the ninth overall pick and not take him. I just wouldn't be able to live with myself.
So yeah, no.
That's my five. You got the last one.
I don't blame you there one bit. This is tough because I was convinced you were not going to take Phil Collins. And I was like, cool, I'll take him walking away and I'll feel happy about it. I'll say this. There's a very slam dunk pick to make. But you taught the lesson for me that you cannot take them in any Buffalo draft.
You're going to say Bon Jovi.
I'm not picking them, but that's the right pick. That's the absolute right pick.
It would be a very strong pick if this mm-hmm. was a New Jersey or a Florida or New Mexico draft and not, you know, primarily Buffalo voters. Yeah, you learned a lesson through me. Yeah. I learned it the hard mm-hmm. way. Not fuck around with Bon Jovi in any of this. That's not the act, though, that I was torn between.
Okay, well, that's...
That would have been a good pick for you, though. But yeah, you're right. You'd get murdered for doing that. That would be an 100% automatic L for you.
And it would be well-earned, and I would just hand you the keys to the title in that case. And there's two rap acts that I want to pick, but they had one album, and it was at the tail end of the 80s. And I can't pick either of them. That sucks so bad. And I hate that I don't like, based on one album, I can't say that they're an 80s artist because they're more associated with the 90s. Even though it's very much they very much started in the 80s, but it's like you don't associate them with the 80s. So
I know you're talking about.
You know both of them?
I know. Well, one of them's definitely got to be NWA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about the other one.
Public Enemy.
Public Enemy would be a legitimate 80s to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it would play. I can't. Why am I I'm in no position to coach you, dude. I lose pretty much every fucking week, man.
Like I've got my choice. I'm just like I'm getting out the.
Let I'm me just say out, this like, about
also rants.
I'll tell you this about Public Enemy for me personally. With prefacing this by saying it wouldn't play well, I don't think it would play well with voters. Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna tell you right now, in the late 80s, I was banging Public Enemy when I was in high school.
Yeah.
That was really heavy on my playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right.
Let me stop hemming and hawing and going over the ones I really wanted to pick, but I can't for one reason or another. To me, again, a band that transcends all eras or all decades and is legendary. It's Metallica.
Mm, okay.
Their first three or four albums were all released in the 80s. And those are the ones everybody. Now, the Black Album came out in 91. Like that's their biggest album. But their best albums came out in the 80s, without a doubt. And they put metal. Like that kind of metal, they weren't, I guess they were speed metal, a little bit thrash metal, but they made metal mainstream
mm-hmm.
without a doubt. Like Iron Maiden was there. Iron Maiden, everybody loved Iron Maiden, but like they had the weird album covers and people were just like, I don't know, these guys like devil worshippers or something. Like they got skeletons on their covers and like what the hell's going on with these guys? Iron Maiden's incredible. And some of their best albums came from the 80s, but like they were like your underground favorite. If you were a kid in the 80s, you kind of like hid your Iron Maiden albums away somewhere. And you're just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. Same for Ozzy. Like, you know, Ozzy had such a bad rep through through the end of the 70s and the 80s. Like people were just, you know, biting heads off of bats at shows and shit like that. But like Metallica, goddamn, like Kill 'Em All comes out and you're just like, whoa. Okay. And then they follow it up with Ride the Lightning and you're like, whoa. Okay. And then Master of Puppets is like 2 years after that. Like, holy shit, these guys rule. And then Injustice for All closes out the 80s for him. And you're just like, holy shit, these guys are unbelievable. And then like all those albums went like multiple time platinum. And then the Black Album hits in 91. And it's their biggest album they ever did. And it's like,
I'll never forget being in high school. Again, because I'm old enough to talk about this. I'll never forget being in high school in the later 80s where the heavy metal crowd would have the jean jackets with the long
patches,
curly permed hair.
Yep.
Metallica was, yeah, man, that was a, I didn't like Metallica in the 80s. I came to love Metallica later in life. Because in the 80s, I was stuck on the cheese, man.
Yeah.
I was the pop music.
Everybody
the
was
rap
stuck
music,
on that.
Cheese.
You know?
Rock music, a lot of rock music didn't so much resonate with me in the 80s. It would later.
It was the hair metal rock stuff. Like the hair metal stuff was huge in the 80s. And like, we didn't, none of us picked a hair metal band, which.
No.
Although Bon Jovi was not like, if that was
you
not
would have
like
picked Bon Jovi in another
say,
city. Right.
Oh, I get that. Absolutely.
Let me tell you the band. So as I was torturing myself trying to decide, and ultimately I picked Phil Collins, the group that I didn't pick that I really wanted to was Van Halen. I came really close to pulling the trigger on Van Halen. I think they're one of the great American rock bands of all time. And they got five or six songs from the 80s that I absolutely love. So I was really torn with them. A couple other ones that are on my list that I didn't end up needing to make decisions on was Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Springsteen was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been great in other eras too.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who's been around forever.
Like Born in the USA was such a monster album.
It was a monster song, but not even my favorite Bruce song, not even by a long shot.
No, I just mean that whole album. Like that whole album.
Right, album. Glory Days, I'm on Fire, Hungry Heart, My Hometown, which might be my favorite song. It's definitely my dad's favorite song, Cover Me. Lots of great songs from Bruce. So he was on my list. And then one that could have been, you know, I talked about Hall & Oates, 70s or 80s, could have been either or. Billy Joel. Billy Joel in the 70s was amazing, but Billy Joel in the 80s, it was almost like two different artists, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like a completely different style of music. He adapted to the pop music era in the 80s. Tell Her About It. We Need to Start the Fire, which I really don't like that song, honestly. But Uptown Girl, The Longest Time, Allentown. I love Allentown. You're Only Human. There are a lot of great Billy Joel songs. You had The Police. I don't know why. I should have known better with you that you would have that on that. Because that was on my short list. I had an explanation for them. A couple others. And, you know,
well, you snaked me out with Whitney Houston. I thought she might slip down the board where I could have grabbed her. Cause I had designs on that. Cause I had to take Prince and Madonna 1 and 2. Like
that was the right thing.
I had
to
no
do.
Choice there.
Madonna was too. I don't know. I don't know why I would thought that you would have taken her, but I was like, yo, if I get MJ and Madonna, this is over early.
Let me tell you, I've grown to really appreciate Madonna as I got older. Cause like when I was a kid, I was like, Madonna girl music. Like, I don't like her. Like,
I love Madonna music, man.
Like everything she made in the 80s was friggin' great.
Absolutely.
Even the early
man.
90s stuff is really damn.
Yeah. Def Leppard was on my list of contenders. Journey, but again, maybe they're 70s, 80s, depends what your perspective is. George Michael / Wham. But I didn't pick them in part because it's like, well, are you picking George Michael or are you picking Wham?
Yeah.
Because technically they're two different categories. And then one other one I had, Duran Duran, too. I really loved Duran Duran in the 80s. So. I don't know, man. You know,
I'm mad at myself now. I did not think of Duran Duran. I'm so pissed.
I love that new wave era, man. I like culture. Yeah. I like Culture Club. I'm not afraid. You know, I'm not ashamed to admit that shit, man. Fucking love Men at Work. Lots of again. I could spend literally 2 hours just talking about 80s acts.
You know what?
That
could be another future draft. 80s one hit wonders.
Could be
by song.
There's a lot of them.
Like not by act, but by song. Like I mean, I guess it's the same deal, but.
Right.
That could be one to do.
Sure. I'm looking, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you, Joe. I'm looking at these lists. I thought I was a lot coming in.
It's tight.
This is going to be close. Tight. And I'm going to tell you why, because first of all, let me recap. So Joe took Prince, Madonna, U2, The Police, and Metallica. And I drafted Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Run DMC, Hall & Oates, and Phil Collins. There's two picks of mine that I'm concerned about not polling well. One is Michael. And again, I was not going to not pick Michael.
Can't not with the first Michael. Pick.
If
people give you shit about that, I'd be like,
there'll be a percentage.
You never
of
lived
people,
the moment in the 80s.
Yeah. Like, there'll be a percentage of people who are going to, you know, throw the child molester shit out.
Why would
you, you know, you vote for, or I'll never vote for somebody who picked a child molester. So that's going to happen. I'm going to lose some points for that. But again, couldn't not pick him. And then Run DMC. I just named a bunch of, I think, more popular groups, unless you're a rap music fan, than Run DMC. And I'm sure I'm going to get plenty of Beastie Boys should have been picked first. There is no Beastie Boys. There's literally no Beastie Boys were not for Run DMC. And furthermore, I would have picked LL Cool J before the Beastie Boys as well. Mm. And I love the Beastie Boys, by the way, because again, there ain't really no Beastie Boys without Run DMC. So that might hurt me, man. It might hurt me in a poll.
Run DMC was the first rap group that did a crossover. Like, they did Walk This Way with Aerosmith. It's like, okay. Like, I mean, Aerosmith wasn't totally back on the scene yet when that song hit. And then Run DMC was like, no, dude, like they got these licks that we want in our song. Let's just get them in there. Like, that was awesome. Like, that's like a music video that still sticks out to me. It's so good.
I think this is a draft, honestly, and I'm not just saying this, I truly mean it as we wrap up here. I think this is a draft where there's no weaknesses. This is a draft where both rosters are really good. It might be close. It might not be close. I might win. You might win. It might be by a little lot. I don't know, but I'm going to go to sleep tonight feeling good about my team. I know you're going to do the same.
Go to sleep. I'm good totally about good your with team. That.
Little teaser for next week here. We're going to do Buffalo Bills quarterbacks in between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen. That might be fun. There's going to be some suspicious, sketchy picks at some point in the second half of the draft. But it's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah.
Sabres talked about, again, four more games we'll have to talk about. The Bills play Houston this week. We'll talk about that. Get you ready for Kansas City. Plenty of fun stuff. My man, Joe Yerden. Thanks as always, buddy.
Always fun, man. Good talk.